Good morning. Please bear with me. I haven't had my coffee yet this morning. I rolled out of bed a little later than I anticipated. So if I fall asleep in the middle of my talk, you'll have to forgive me. I want to talk a little bit about something that's pretty unusual in this town these days. Congress actually passed a law, and it actually overhauled our food safety system, FDA's food safety system, for the first time in over 70 years. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that law, how it actually came to be, because many people don't believe the machinations it took. And then I'll talk about some of the public health implications of it. Just a little bit about the Pew Health Group. Many of you have heard of Pew, perhaps, but our approach to food is really to focus primarily on unnecessary and hidden risks in the food supply. We have programs in food additives, food safety, as well as some work on food contaminants and on school foods. Basically, our role has been primarily to look at research and publications. We've run major advocacy campaigns. We worked with and helped create a coalition called the Make Our Food Safe Coalition. If you're interested in food safety, the website is actually really useful. It's got a lot of polling information, public health information, studies, and so on, makeourfoodsafe.org. We also partnered quite a bit with industry, which is one of the reasons this law actually ended up passing, as well as with victims organizations. And we established an organization called the Produce Safety Project at Georgetown University that studied many of the problems with produce safety, which is very much in the news, as I'll be talking about. There's pretty clear scientific evidence, I think, as most of us know, about the continuing risks of foodborne illness. CDC's estimates that came out earlier this year are that we still have about 1 in 6 Americans get sick every year, 48 million people, from foodborne illness. 128,000 are hospitalized, and about 3,000 die. The impacts are very real. This is an ad that we actually ran several times during the legislation moving forward. This is one child who I think tells the story well. His experience was that his mom was sort of a little bit of a health nut. She wanted to make sure that Kyle was fed well. When he was 2, she put spinach in his smoothie. And the next day, it came out that spinach had been recalled for E. coli contamination. Unfortunately, of course, Kyle had already eaten it. He started getting sick within about 48 hours after he ate it. He came down with HUS, hemolytic uremic syndrome. He was admitted to the hospital in Idaho where he lived, and he degenerated to the point that they had to medevac him to Utah, where they had a specialized unit, and unfortunately he died within a few days of the time that he ate the spinach. And that's not that unusual for this particular strain of E. coli, which is quite deadly, especially to children. The point is that basically, an average consumer, of course, cannot detect foodborne illness-carrying organisms. It's not something that consumers really can avoid in many cases. We're not going to wash our peanut butter. Many of us like to eat leafy greens and salads without nuking the leafy greens. Obviously, you can wash them off, but that doesn't necessarily take care of the problem. Another recent outbreak was the 2008-09 peanut outbreak, which caused the recall of over 3,000 products. More than 700 people were confirmed ill, 9 or more dead, according to CDC. I've just listed a few of the other major outbreaks and recalls: pistachios, cookie dough, bagged lettuce, cut celery, and this year, cantaloupes. We probably all remember the egg outbreak, where there were over 500 million shell eggs that were recalled in last year. More than 1,800 people got sick with Salmonella enteritidis. And then ongoing right now is the cantaloupe outbreak, where Colorado-grown cantaloupes were contaminated with listeria. CDC's most recent estimates from the end of last week were that 28 people have been confirmed dead, a staggering 21% fatality rate among people that got sick. Most of these are elderly people that died. FDA is required under the new law, I'll be talking about, to establish new produce safety standards, but those have not been proposed yet. They aren't due out until January of next year in a couple of months. One of the things we've looked at are what are the costs of foodborne illness. One of these items on the site that I mentioned, makeourfoodsafe.org, is state-by-state costs of foodborne illness. The study that was published by an economist from FDA, a former FDA economist, was that there are $152 billion per year in health-related costs from foodborne illness. The original food safety law that I'll be talking about was passed in 1906, signed by Teddy Roosevelt, and it wasn't updated until 1938. And the 1938 amendments were the last major amendments to the food safety law until this year, if you can believe that. That was 73 years. This led to pretty widespread demands for updating the law. We were able to create quite a coalition, including, you can see some of the logos on there, ranging from U.S. PIRG to Grocery Manufacturers Association. National Consumers League, Trust for America's Health, many other organizations from business as well as from public health groups. The House first failed to pass the bill. There was a vigorous effort to get them to change their mind. It was then passed again for the first time through the House. The President and FDA Commissioner urged action. The Senate then took up the bill, passed it unanimously through the Senate committee, but it was blocked by a filibuster. I won't go through all the details, but it ended up having to be passed twice by the Senate because there was a constitutional problem with the bill that they didn't realize. And then it had to be passed three times by the House, believe it or not. Ultimately, we got it folded into the Cash for Clunkers bill and ended up being finally passed just before Christmas of last year, and the President signed it on January 4th. Obviously, it's historic and bipartisan. As I mentioned, it's the first overhaul in over 70 years, and the main focus of the law is to change how FDA looks at foodborne illness. FDA traditionally has reacted sort of like a detective force, figuring out what caused illnesses or what caused contamination after it occurred. This new law changes that entire framework and is forcing the FDA to focus primarily on preventing contamination. So FDA regulates about 80% of the food supply, just about everything except for meat and poultry. And the new law includes what I'm going to talk about, the five major enhancements: preventive controls, inspection and compliance, imported food safety, response to problems, and then stronger partnerships with states and others. Obviously, some of the problems that had to be addressed and still remain in many ways are that FDA had no authority to recall contaminated food. That was fixed in the new law. FDA inspects food facilities on average once a decade. That was required to be fixed, but it's going to take time for that to get into place, and there's a real question about resources for FDA, which I'll talk about. FDA only checks about 1 to 2% of imports. This is supposed to be fixed in part. FDA can't quickly trace contaminated food, has no standards for produce safety. Both of those are supposed to be addressed under the new law. And FDA had no ready access to company records when it went out to inspect or when it simply asked for information. That was modestly addressed, not completely fixed, but addressed somewhat in the new law. One key component is what many of you have heard of is Hazard Analysis Critical Control Points, or HACCP. This requires food facilities to identify where the food might get contaminated in the facility and to adopt steps to address those problems and to do testing at their facility, environmental and other testing at the facility. And FDA, when they come in to inspect, will check on those. There's a mandatory inspection frequency based on risk. And inspections will be done by federal and state officials. In addition, we've seen skyrocketing about 10% increase in food imports every year. Right now we're importing about 80% of our fresh fruits and vegetables, I'm sorry, of our seafood, and the majority are fresh fruits and vegetables. This new law will require certification by the importer that the food meets U.S. standards for the first time, and will provide for third-party inspection provisions for food imports, as well as strengthened FDA imports. Require, as I mentioned, science-based standards for agricultural production of produce, which is the first time, believe it or not, right now, to this day, there are no federal standards at all for food safety for produce. It will strengthen traceback measures and will provide for updating of the lab technology. It's also supposed to improve surveillance and address rapid detection of foodborne illness issues, including DNA fingerprinting and improved EPI tools. Obviously, there's a big problem here, which is FDA is going to need resources, and the House slashed FDA's budget earlier this year by $86 million for the food safety programs alone. The Senate increased, the committee increased the budget by $40 million in the minibus, which I think is going to be voted on today in the full Senate. But it's not clear what's going to happen between the House and the Senate. If FDA doesn't get the resources to implement this law, it's clear that it won't fully be carried out. Inspections will probably lag. The science that FDA needs to get these rules and to fashion them and to, you know, to make sure that they actually address the specifics of each individual industry will not be addressed. Obviously, there is a lot of unfinished business. One is that the meat and poultry laws that USDA operates were not touched by this new law. There are court decisions that limit USDA's authorities under current law. For example, if they find multiple violations of their salmonella standards, they are not authorized to automatically withdraw their inspectors or to recall that food. They actually have no recall authority. And there are splintered authorities across FDA and USDA that probably need to be addressed. The other thing I'll just mention is food additives law has not been updated since 1958 in any substantial way. And we just did a report last week that you may have seen in the press that found that over 10,000 chemicals are added to food, that over 3,000 of those are self-certified as safe by the industry with no notice to the public or to FDA. So FDA doesn't even know what the data are that may support the self-certification. And we're taking a deep dive to look at that data to the extent we can get it and to look at these food additives. In summary, basically the new law is going to usher in, assuming that there's resources, a new prevention-based approach. It will require more frequent inspection and compliance reviews. Imported food will be much more strictly regulated. And there will be better response, including stronger scientific capacity to respond. When it's fully implemented, we think it will lead to a reduction in foodborne illness in the U.S., but there still is quite a bit of unfinished business that includes pretty dated authorities for meat and poultry, as well as for food additives. Thank you very much.